The message you are about to hear is provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father God, again, we are humbled and awed in your presence. So grateful for your amazing love for us, the blessing of knowing that you are the God who hears and answers our prayers, the blessing that's ours as together we gather and bring you our corporate worship, as we sacrifice our most precious gift, our time, and come here specifically to be with you and with one another. We thank you for the blessing that is ours as members of the body, the joy as we listen and people share answered prayer, the privilege of being able to be part of lifting others' needs and cares to you, and then Father, the joy that is ours when you answer and work in a mighty way in and among us. We are a blessed people because we are your people. And you are such an amazing God. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for Megan and this turn of events. And our deep prayer, Father, is that this is something that is deep and genuine and that it is, in fact, a mighty working on your part through the power of your indwelling Holy Spirit in her young life. We pray that you'd continue to draw her to yourself. Others, Father, that we've lifted, the needs that are out there, we're grateful that we can share them. We thank you to share in the praises and in the testimonies. What a joy. We do continue to pray for our church, that you would strengthen and encourage her, that even this month you'd bring another family to encourage and strengthen us as they join with us in serving and worshiping you. We lift up our frontline warriors, our missionaries, and we pray for Robin and for Carolyn. We thank you for the ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship. And we pray for these two ladies especially, strength and encouragement and physical health, and that you continue to meet their needs as they reach out to these young people who so desperately need to hear the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you're doing in and through them and for our part in that. We are grateful to be able to be part of what you're doing around the world through our missionaries. Again, Lord, we're grateful for this day, for this opportunity, and it is our prayer that our worship is pleasing in your sight. We ask it all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
This morning we're going to be in John chapter 8. And I understand that some of you haven't gotten the bulletin ahead of time. But we've been doing pretty good so far. You will notice that the songs that we've been singing today seems as if we are still in Easter time. But anything that is about Jesus Christ is not just for Easter time. It's just for every day. Over the years, every Easter time, I'm going to mention it, it's like the Lord always gives me a theme to think about. And this time I've been thinking a lot about freedom. What is my understanding of freedom? What is it? And as I'm looking at through the Bible and Logos software and all that, I just don't seem to understand the word. It just seemed like the first time I'm seeing it. But in John chapter 8, the chapter, it's a big chapter. We're not going to read everything. All right? But when you look at the chapter, Jesus is talking about two main things. In fact, one, to be specific, it's about the truth. The truth that brings freedom. when they started the chapter, they brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and they were asking Jesus' opinion. In fact, they were testing him to see what he would say. Said, it's like, hey, we caught her fresh. What do you say? And if you look at the verse, the end of verse 8, Jesus said one thing. So like, anyone of you here who never sinned before, be the first to throw the stone at her. And they all went away. That was the truth. They know they were convinced that none of them can claim that they never sinned. But you can already see from the beginning of the chapter how that truth had already set the adulterous woman free. Jesus said, they didn't condemn you. I will not condemn you either. The other part of the chapter was the interaction between Jesus and the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders. They sit in the high places. They occupy positions. And they are always afraid to be displaced. So they try to protect every turf they have or they had. And so for them, whatever Jesus is saying, it's irrelevant. Truth, salvation, calling God your Father. What they want that freedom from Roman Empire. But Jesus is saying that's not the freedom you want. That's not the freedom you need. So what kind of freedom do they want? So in your bulletin, you see it's from John 31 to 47. But two verses that link this chapter together, it's a verse 31 and a verse 36. But a little walk through it, 31 said, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Verse 32. Then the NIV said, you will. But if you look at the Greek, it's you shall. People say, there is no difference. Oh, there is. And we're going to come to that. Then you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. So, Jesus said, you shall know the truth. When I was in the seminary, Greek wasn't my favorite subject. But this is where you have to come to it to really understand what he's saying. In the Greek, they call something imperative future. Oh, you will visit. Oh, you will come. It's different than to say, you shall visit. It's like a father telling the son, you shall mow the lawn. It's like, you will do it when the time comes. You're not going to miss it. It's very imperative. And Jesus is saying, you shall know the truth. Meaning you will not miss it. Everything will show you that this is the truth. And you will know it. Very, very important. Now, what is the truth? The reading that we've gone through when the pastor led us, that was the question Pilate was asking. He doesn't seem to understand. So what is the truth? Well, the truth that Jesus is talking about is a relationship with him that brings freedom to humanity. In the Sunday school class, we've been talking about the race that we have to run. And in the book of Hebrews, they say the sin that entangles. They didn't say a sin in like infinite article A. It was very definite. It said the sin. That means there are sins or some particular sin in our lives that have made us slave. Now, they don't want to hear that word. If we continue reading, when we come, they said that when Jesus talked about the sin, the slave, they say, wait a minute, we're not slave. We're not anybody slave. We are the descendant of Abraham. They are partially right about that. The fact that they are the seed of Abraham. When they said they never been anyone's slave, that's not quite true. They've been in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves in where? Babylonia, Syria. They've been slaves everywhere. And God redeemed them. The sin that entangles, the sin that makes us slave. There is nothing else a slave will enjoy more than freedom. And we live in a country that has more history about that. But Jesus is not erring into the area of politics or just freedom. Now I can do what I want. But that sense of peace, that deep tranquility inside you, between you and the Lord, that no matter what is going on around you, you have that solid ground that I know whom I believe. Because there are many things that can choke our joy. And the first one is sin. And I was telling Alyssa yesterday, like, you know, I think I'm catching cold and I just don't have taste for anything. And I had a fever. It just reminded me of the illustration that sin is just like a fever. It takes away every taste. Whatever tastes good is tasteless. You don't want anything. We don't want to enjoy the Lord. We don't want to go deeper with the Lord. But Jesus is telling these people that claiming their ancestry in Abraham is not what's going to set them free. Only the truth. The truth that they don't want to hear. I believe that I don't want to hear. Some of this in our life that sometimes when we get confronted, we get very defensive, very reactive. But Jesus knew that the only way to get to these guys who claim to be leaders and see themselves perfect is to confront them. That none of them is without sin. When we continue in verse 39, they said to Jesus, "Abraham is our father." They answered. And Jesus said, "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you will do things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who had told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such thing or such things. You are doing the things your own father does." So Jesus here, his point is, you calling Abraham as your father, Abraham is a righteous man. And this is what he did. And we all know that. But what you are doing, it's different than what Abraham did. Then, who is your father? When you go to the verse 44, and Jesus told them that your father is a liar, is the devil. And that's not an easy thing. Sit out there and take that in. So Jesus is again telling them the truth, that it's like Jesus saying, "I'm not making anything up. Look at what you're doing and be rational here. Look at what you're doing. Do the math. How does that look like? Does this look like Abraham, some people who want to kill him because of the truth? Will Abraham do that?" No. Growing up in a youth group, one of the things our youth leader tried to tell us is, whatever you're doing is not about who is around. Always be aware that God is there. If Jesus will be pleased with it, then go ahead. If you think Jesus will not be pleased with it, then forget about it. It seems like a very simple truth or simple ideas, but when you look at it, if we claim to be Christians, believers and Christ followers, then our deed has to match with how Christ lived. And when people see that, they know we have the truth and we following the truth. You see, Jesus did not just say in a vacuum that I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. He also proved it. Some of you have a scientific background, and I do a little bit. So we err on the side of facts. You know, give me facts. Just don't tell me anything that doesn't have fact, doesn't have any credibility, basically. And so Jesus, not claiming just, I am the truth, he lived it, he showed to them. He didn't just say, I am the life. He resurrected Lazarus and told them that you will be resurrected. And he told them that I am the way. And every word he has been preaching to them is about God the Father and the kingdom of God. That's why he said, you shall know the truth. They will see it. They will not say, oh, we didn't see that. We didn't know you. They know it. In fact, the fact that they know the truth, that's why they didn't like it. In December, I was coming back from school in Chicago and I was listening to NPR radio. And a man was asked. He was in prison for 15 years. And, you know, somehow the government, they helped him because he was a minor offense and he stayed there too long than he should, didn't get a proper attorney. So when they released him, when the journalist was interviewing him, he asked him, how does it feel to be free? And the guy could not answer. You know, he began, you know, to cry. Because for him not to be able to enjoy his family, his children, and to be able to, you know, pursue his dream, it's almost like unbelievable. In fact, he said when he came home, it's like everybody's unknown. When he's sitting on a chair, he's using the same chair, the same spoon, the same dish. When the change is like, it's difficult for him to really adjust outside because he has been without freedom. And the freedom that Jesus is talking about here, it's a freedom that set us free not just from sin, but for a relationship with God that brings life every day. Because the culture is telling us that our freedom is in getting much stuff. Our freedom and power comes when you get more money. But look at it critically. It's very deceptive. It's a very tricky way Satan has been changing our mind. When you get more stuff, more money, you worry. When I was in Ghana, I remember our pastor, his wife, she said, I want to tell you something that I never told anyone. And she said she would have, but now she told other people more than me. So her husband, that was Pastor Holbrook, went to school that time, Tennessee Temple, and in Tennessee. So when they finished, they went back home as missionaries, and people really blessed them. And so the fund that he brought to Ghana was actually much more than what the president had himself. So it became a persecution that they have to run back to the U.S. for some time and learn that you don't put all your eggs in one basket, but spread them in a different banks to avoid that. But she told me now that they have more money, every night she feels like, what if the bank calls me and tells me the paper burned? It's like, and she says she doesn't know why, but like she feels so insecure that one day they're going to get up and they're going to lose everything. Things that we think will bring us freedom, I believe, are the things that are taking us into slavery. God enjoys if we have a car to drive to work or wherever we want to go, if we have a food on table, have clothes on our back, shoes on the foot, and all that, God is pleased. But when we try to find our sense of worth and freedom in those things, then it's wrong. These people think their freedom is because their father is Abraham. And Jesus said, no. Your freedom is when you recognize Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior who came to save you. I want to go back to verse 36 and throw some couple lights in there. In verse 32, Jesus said, we'll do a little contrast here. 32, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In verse 36, he said, If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, verse 32, it's a more like declarative, even more so imperative. You shall know the truth. Why then the 36, he said, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. I thought about it. Why would Jesus make this one more like conditional? Like I told you again, my Greek is not the best, but I have to look at it and try to read it to you so that we dissect this segment and understand what he is saying. So, if you read it, here it comes. So, in the Greek, verse 8:38 says, Ien aos hagios humas eletheon autos eletheos astethe. That can literally be translated, if therefore the Son you shall set free, indeed free you will be. Now we say we don't speak English like that. And then we put it together, it's still, my point here of the Greek, even from the Greek, if is there, the ion from the beginning. It's a very conditional. It's not conditional for them to know Jesus as the truth, but for Jesus to set them free, it's a conditional. Why? What is the condition? To work for salvation? No. But they have to accept him, that he is indeed the truth. And that's why he said first that you shall know the truth. Oh no, you're not going to miss it. You're not going to miss who Jesus is. But then he said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Did the Son set you free? You might say, yeah, I'm a free man. I'm no one's slave, like they said over here. But what about all the stuff that only you know? That is not really helping you to thrive in the Lord. Now, bringing it to a practical way, what about the truth between us as a family, as the body of Christ? Do we tell each other truth? As couples, do you tell everything to your spouse? Or you think some of this truth will just spark something? So, it's better nobody talks about it. Let's keep it the way it is. Well, that's what brings us to slavery. But the truth brings freedom. The truth, even this, let's talk about the political freedom. The people who, you know, planted those poles and raised those colorful flags in the air, there was something that was the truth that they really held on to. That they believe in freedom. Some of them, they know. Some of the soldiers, they just know that they're not going to enjoy it. But then they strongly believe in it, that their children will enjoy after them. And we enjoy that freedom today, don't we? It came with a price. If they want to be silly about it, I really don't think we'll be here. We see other countries running from war. Everybody want to come to the U.S. But because the people who started the country here believe in the truth and they live in the truth, that outside people still don't get it yet. And it's unfortunate that it's kind of coming here. I remember we were using a lantern. I don't know. I think that's the name. You put kerosene inside and light it up steady. And it has a glass where you see the light through it. And I broke it. So I picked up the pieces. And then I tried to hide it from my parent. And so I know it happened in the morning. We're not going to need it. That time we didn't have electricity. I know we're not going to need it till the evening. So I should have told my parents what happened. I was like, maybe they won't find out. So I went to school. Boy, I was in a classroom. I can't pay attention. But I was like, what if they discover, they find it before I tell them? A part of it, oh no, they won't find it. So this debate, I'm telling the truth. This debate keeps on going on in my mind. I'm not free.
I'm not free. And people ask, is everything all right? Maybe I would say, oh yeah, I'm fine, fine. But internally, I know I'm not. Because there is something I should have told my parent that, hey, this is what it is. I'm sorry. Whatever punishment you have, I might take it, but there is no other way. But I tried, picked up the pieces. First of all, I wanted to tape it around. It wasn't working. And then I put it somewhere and thinking that they're not going to find out. But that's really stupid. Night is coming. We have two lamps at that time. So one is what they use. One is what me and Kevin we used to study. So they're going to find out. And lo and behold, they did. I don't want to tell you the end of that story. It wasn't good. I would have been, you know, like my mom said, you should have told me and we wouldn't be where we are. And that's a very important. I look at that in my life every day. What are some of the truths that, you see, when people, even when they are good friends, they lie to each other. When they find out, it ruins friendship. So we can talk about the eternal value of the truth that is King Jesus himself. But in a very, very practical way, what about it in a family? How many times people say, I just can't trust you? Some of us have heard that before. I'm not going to lie. And it takes time to really build that up. But like Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The question is, am I willing for Jesus to change me? Or I think everybody's like that. It's okay. Well, it has been a challenge for me myself. And we live in a culture that think truth is relative, or, you know, your truth is not my truth. What you see right, I don't see it that way. But when we come to the Word of God, we have only one Savior, that is Jesus, who is the truth. Pilate cannot understand. And he said, so are you the King of the Jews? Jesus didn't mention any word about king before. He said it. He had the truth right in front of him, and he's still looking for it. I was asking, what is the truth? The truth is, you didn't find any evidence in the man to condemn him. Do you need any other truth about that? How are we doing on truth? How are we open with our friends, families, in a God's family? Maybe there is something in your heart that you just need to pull that person aside and said, maybe I've been hiding this from you for a while, but it's about time to talk about it. It might not be pleasant, but I believe truth brings freedom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your words, and we see here how Jesus always wants us to have a best relationship with you, and he instructed us about the truth. He himself is the truth. He always spoke the truth, something that we struggle with at times. It's just part of our nature. But we've come before you and surrender, and we pray that whatever sin is still entangling us, making us live that we depend on it, we pray. If it's a sin of life, a sin of deception, if it's sin of lust, whatever it is, Lord, we've come to you and ask you to set us free so that we enjoy that freedom with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you have just heard was provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. For more information, please visit our website at calvarybiblefdl.org or call at 920-921-0530. Thanks for listening, and may you grow in grace through faith in Jesus.